Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. Now you see, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now he says, let each one give as he purposes in his own heart. What does it mean to purpose in your own heart and to give as you purposed in your own heart? That means, first gave it to us in the Amplified, let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. Wow. His heart is in his gift. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Because you see, there are people who would think that some people progress, others do not progress, and there is some kind of mysterious thing to read. But there really isn't. Because you see, I'll give you an example. Today you've taken an offering. There is somebody who came who had purposed to give something. And they came knowing what they were going to give. They gave as they purposed in their heart. That's very few, if any. Now, a majority of them or of you, when it's time for offering, you get your wallet, look through it, see how much money you have. Then you start running a calculation in your head, how much you need for the weekend, how you're going to go through, when am I expecting salary and what. Then you determine accordingly how much you're going to give at that moment. Okay? So let's say you give 100,000. After going through all that calculus, you give 100,000. Then somebody, somewhere, came with his 100,000 prepared, as he had purposed in his heart. Amen? And he came and he said, I'm going to hear the word of God and I have purposed to set aside this seed as what I am going to, you know, give the word of God. Now, I'll tell you this. After a few months, the one who came and purposed and the one who just looks through will be in a different place financially. Amen? They'll be in a totally different place. Like, you know, you cannot treat God as a second thought. You see, you people, you have to understand. And he says in Malachi that, let's read there, Malachi chapter 1, verse what? Verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? He says, you offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. Then he says, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord. Now he says, I am God. I made you. You can't have any form of reverence. And by the way, let me tell you something. This much I will tell you, that you think at that time when you're giving, in the Bible, there was a time when Jesus went and stood where they were giving with his disciples and started looking at how everybody was giving and even gave a commentary on the giving, calling his disciples and telling them, you see this one, he gave more than the other. He's giving a commentary, like, as if you know, you understand. And you think he's not standing there looking over you as you're deciding where in your priorities he is. How much do you prioritize him? So you say, tomorrow I have to go for comedy. I need this amount. You're looking in your wallet. I need this, I need this, I need this. Then yeah, based on that you give. And now he says here that you give that to your governor and see if he will be happy. If I'm a father, where is my honor? Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to teach you something. That let me first read some scripture. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Start from, I think, verse 12. It says, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. They were priests in place of their father who was old. It says they did not know the Lord. Go ahead. Then it says, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged fresh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Three-pronged. Then he would thrust it into the pan or the kettle or the cauldron or the pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servants would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. And if the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires, he would then answer him, no, but you must give it now, and if not, I'll take it by force. Now, here is what he's trying to say. According to the commandment of God, they were not supposed to eat the meat unless they've burnt the fat. And they were not even supposed to boil it unless they've burnt the fat. Burnt, like, you know, like, you know, in fire, so that the fat gets off. Then afterwards, they would, you know, boil the meat. And afterwards, the priest could have their meat off what was boiled. Now, these guys sometimes come and say, no, we don't want you to first burn the fat. We want the meat with all the fat. Then the person who has brought the sacrifice says, what you're doing is wrong. The commandment says, let's first burn it. Then afterwards you can take. Then he says, no, if you do not give it to us, we shall take it by force. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great. I want you to notice the use of these words. He says, therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. In other words, they made men despise the thing. It's supposed to be sacred as far as God is concerned. But now they come and they see the priests are behaving like, you know. So men start treating it as, you know. And now, it says their sin was so great because God designed that thing, which the offering, to be a connector between your aspirations and his. They meet somewhere, and that's where they meet. So now these men made people loathe the whole thing. So they took it as a joke because the priests are behaving in whichever way and they are not following the commandments of God. So now everybody thinks it's a joke and that's how it is. Now, it says, therefore the sin of the young men was great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord, which according to him is supposed to be sacred. But because of the way these guys were behaving, men treated it without any sacredness. Okay, go to verse 27. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and offering? In other words, why do you despise it? Why do you take it as a light thing? Okay? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Now go to verse 30. Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Praise the Lord. He says, those who honor me are what? I will honor them. And those who despise me. And now where is the honoring and the despising? Here. At the giving. Praise the Lord. That's where the honor and the despising is. So you see, somebody, let's say, there's somebody out there who let's say this week had a breakthrough and maybe got some payment that they had been expecting. Yeah, and they, so let's say they got a payment of 2 million. I'm giving you an example. So the person gets his 2 million, and the first thought in his mind is, I have to take off my tithe. And the Lord is there saying, hey, so you've put me first. So you've honored me. I'm going to honor you. You see, eh? He knows the first thought that crosses your mind. It can be rent, it can be what. But now the first thought that crosses your mind is tithe. Then he says, oh, okay. I will honor those who honor me. Amen? Then afterwards, after the tithe, you say, but man, this has been a very good day. This has been a very good, you know. I should package something that I should go and present before the Lord. Maybe as a thanksgiving offering. So maybe that person puts aside an extra 500K. I'm giving an example. And then prepares it. And purposes in his heart to bring it. And then he comes where the word of God is being preached. Here. And gives his 500K with a joyful heart. Saying, God, hey, you gave me this business and it has paid. So thank you. Inside his heart, he's joyful. I'm telling you that God puts a value on him that stays with him because he has put a value on God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, when God puts a value on you because you have put a value on his word, on his presence, and you valued it, he puts a value on you. And that value cuts across every area in your life. Everything in your life will follow after that value. Or if there is no value, everything in your life will also fall after that what? Lack of value. For instance, when God puts a value on your life, if your boyfriend was going to buy for you a Tecno, you'll buy for you an iPhone 15. And there is no reason why. He just looks at you and sees you deserve that. And then if you wanted to buy for you an iPhone 15, you buy for you a car. And now that cuts across everything. I know what it means to have the value of God because I know what it means to have been at some stage preaching and people give me seed of 20,000, of 100,000, of 500,000. But I also know what it means for people to give me seed of hundreds of millions. They have done that. Okay? Why? Because I did certain things and God puts a value on you. And somebody looks at you and says, I can't give this one 100,000. His mind tells him that's not your level. And you don't even tell them. But God has put a value on you, you understand? Now, there is a method by which you get that value. And now it cuts across everything. Then you say, okay, that's for you, a preacher. What about me? If I was a businessman, the deals I would be cracking would be at that level. Because that's God's valuation of me, you understand? That's what he means when he says, I will honor those who honor me. Because at some stage, he saw, like the way you handle, and it's all in the money, by the way. It's all in money. And I'm going to show you certain things here. It's all in money. If you do not honor him with your money, you don't honor him. There is no honoring of saying that I said amen. No, it is with money. Because that's what really matters to you. And then there is something which matters to him. Okay? He does not need money in the world where he exists. But he's given his word. His word is out there. Then you hear his word, then you put a valuation on his word. So after listening to his word, let's say you have 300K in your wallet, and you look through all and say, what's considering weekend and what? Then you get out a 5,000 note and put in an envelope. And then he says, oh, so that's how you valued my word. So that's how I'm going to value you. And it sticks. There is nobody who can change it. You cannot change it. Amen? Now, I've seen people, I remember some pastor came and he came when we were there and was trying to see, but like he wanted to see how big my ministry is and how I. Then he came and said, but like he has very few people. How does he have all that money? Let me tell you, the value of God has, even if there is five of you, if God has put his value on me, praise the Lord. And he doesn't choose, I choose because he sees how much I value his value. So he says, hey, so you've come here, you've listened to a powerful word, and you valued it at 5K. Okay. Then he says, okay, I'm also going to value you accordingly. Praise the Lord. And it sticks. You will do very powerful work, and they will still give you what? 5K. There's a guy who went somewhere and to some church which has rich people. And he's prophetic, and he actually really, really prophesies. So he went and prophesied and prophesied and, you know, picked things which were real, powerful. And at the end of the day, they gave him 50K. Amen? You cannot cheat the system. I'm telling you, let me tell you. You cannot cheat. That's why God says, I will honor those who honor me. If you honor me, I will honor you. And said, if you don't honor me, you will be lightly esteemed by men. People will not esteem you. And that will be the story of your life. You do something, your grade is at that level. Okay? Everything is at that level. When they are taking you out, they will take you out to, you know, that level. They're not going to take you out in where you're going to put a napkin and what, and then, you know, they come and put things on you and so on. And then there are how many courses. No, you're not that level. You can't cheat the system. Whereas somebody else, when somebody wants to take her out, he knows I can't take her to Java's. Something tells him that's not her level. So you take her to those what? Those restaurants where there are reservations. What's your reservation name? Then you mention. And then you arrive there. Then, you know, praise the Lord. You see, this sounds like a joke, eh? But I wish you knew that when you actually value the word of God, because this is, his word is him, you see, eh? And you have your own aspirations. You want to, you know, be well on this earth. And he says, there is a place we meet where your aspirations meet what matters to me. And that is at the offering. So let us see how much you value me. Let us see how much value you attach to the word. So I come here. He knows very well that I woke up at 2 and I've been praying for this, praying for, you know, to make sure I get the word that he wants me to preach. So he knows the effort I've put to come and give you these words. Then he sees the effort you put in the offering. Then he says, okay. So that's how much you value it. Okay, let's see. Then somebody comes and has attached value to it and has purposed and comes with something prepared already. Okay, that's why it says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. So it's something which has been premeditated. Then he comes and presents it before the Lord. And after some time, he is ahead and you are where you are. And the people who do this, they stagnate and they start blaming everybody else. They start looking for what is wrong here, start looking for where to go, where to run, what, something is not happening. Then they are listening to about 50 men of God. The problem is you. Problem is you. If you value what matters to God, he will put a value on you. And that value sticks everywhere. When you're looking for a job, people will look at you and say, for you, you have to earn 20 million. When you're looking for, like, everything, it sticks and it becomes the story of your life because you put a value to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, you see, because people don't understand that God has designed certain things in a certain way because he knows that your money is what represents what really matters because that's your effort. Okay? So he says that, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk. I said indeed. Would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, in other words, I'm changing my mind because you despised my offering. You made the children of Israel despise something which I consider to be sacred and very important. Then he says, I will honor those who honor me. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed by men. Now, praise the Lord. Now when he talks about honor, it doesn't mean worship. No, it means money. Amen? That's why you're saying that if I'm a king, where is my honor? He says that somebody comes and he has a male in his kraal and he goes and gives a lame animal. And he says, you're despising him. Then he says, I wish you would not give. It would be better that you don't give rather than giving in a way that despises the Almighty. You see, eh? Because you can actually despise him. And it would be better that you don't even give at all rather than give in a way that you're treating him as if he's contemptible. That's what he was saying in Malachi. You're treating me as if I'm contemptible. Then he says, you expect me to deal favorably with you? Amen? And those who despise me will be insignificant and contemptible. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I indeed say that your house and that of Aaron, your father, would walk in priestly service before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be insignificant and contemptible. Now that's, I know what it means to be insignificant. And I know what it means to have a certain value on you. Amen? Yeah. I know what it means to preach and you get a seed of 10,000 shillings. Praise the Lord. But I also know what it means to. You see, because you work yourself in a certain place, then you go up, your value goes up, up. And when God increases your value, there is nothing anybody can do about it. You see, Because it is something that is hanging on you. And people don't know why. They see you and they think you deserve the best. They have no idea. And it is something hanging on you. And it is how you actually treated the word of God. Praise the Lord. You see, let me tell you this. The word of God was never meant to be preached free of charge. Amen? God never intended it that way. That you come and hear a word and go without giving a seed. You have received nothing. Do you know actually what it says? It says you have rejected the word. That's what it says. Notice what he told the apostles here in Luke chapter 9, when he sent them out, when he sent out the 70. Luke chapter 9. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and also sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Go ahead. Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers to his harvest. Go ahead. Go your way. Behold, I send you as lambs among wolves. Carry neither a bag, nor a knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the way. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give you. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Now there is something he's trying to establish here. He's saying, I am sending you with something which is precious to me, the gospel. Now go, if the people where you go cannot feed you and look after you, they have rejected the gospel. This is what he's saying. And he actually said, if they don't feed you, kick off the dust on your feet. And he says it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for those people. They have rejected the gospel. Now, as far as he's concerned, this is the most precious thing to God. Now, when he brings it to you, he expects you to at least house the person. That's why he says, don't go with any extra money. Don't go with any extra tunic. Go with just one tunic. Don't go with something to keep money. Just go. Now, enter a house and eat. Because what you're carrying is more valuable than the food they are giving, as far as he's concerned. But if they refuse, it's okay. Just leave them, and they have rejected the gospel. In other words, if they don't look after you, they have rejected the gospel. This is what he's saying. And he says, do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. You see, also that matters. Because some people will set before you the best things. And they will be blessed more because God says, hey, okay, you've valued what these people are carrying at that level. Go ahead. And heal the sick there, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. How don't they receive them? They don't give you where to sleep. They don't give you food to eat. They don't give you an extra sandal, an extra towel, I'm adding, of course. An extra something, you understand? He says that way they have rejected the gospel. And then he says, nevertheless know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. So he says, if you've rejected the gospel, it's okay. Then kick off the dust off them. Then he goes ahead to say, next verse, but I said to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city. Now you think it's a joke, but I'm telling you something. It is terrible, terrible, when I come and preach the gospel here to you and you don't give a seed. It's not good unless you don't have. And God knows you don't have. But it's not good. Actually, you start becoming farther and farther away from a blessing. You see, it would be better that you don't even listen to it than to listen and there is no... Do you understand what I'm saying? These things are so important to God that he says, so that's how much you valued my word. Okay. Then somewhere, somehow, somebody packages something very powerful and then comes and God says, okay, so you have valued my word like that. I'm also going to value you. I'm going to put a value on you. And then, a few months down the road, this person, everything is, like he's being received in different ways. What was a one-off deal becomes constant. His kamane, which he got and he'd whatever, then the next day he has another one, then the next day he has another one, then he has another one, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And how come? Because he valued God's word. Okay? And how do you value God's word? By valuing the person also who preached it. Amen? I remember when I first started getting, you know, somebody, one day I looked and I said that, because I had been in a place where my phone was full of money lenders, I had what, nothing would what. So like, I had been in a very tough place where every day you wake up and you're under financial pressure. Then somehow, things started changing. Then one day I woke up and I had money, not too much, just like 5 million. But for the first time, there was nobody who had a claim on it. I had no debt. I had paid all my bills, everything. And for the first time, I actually had money, which was mine. Do you understand? Where there is nobody, tekulia abanja. Like, and it was such a big, big, big deal. Because I had been through all this where you're juggling balls. Okay? Should I pay the landlord or should I pay this money lender? Should I do this? And I'd been through all that. Now, for the first time, I was actually in a place where there was nobody to pay. I even had to pinch myself to tell myself, you know, like that's how much I had been in that state, where you look and say, so there is actually, no what? Nobody to pay. Then you even start touching your pocket to remind yourself, I have 5 million and nobody has a stake on it. You understand? Like, and you go, and so I decided that, no, you know what? Man, this is a unique thing. First of all, I was out of what I was used to. So I got the 5 million. I don't know if it was 5 million or just slightly less. And packaged it as a thanksgiving. And I took it to a man of God. And I just got the money and I spoke. I said, God, thank you very much. That for the first time, nobody is kubanjaring me. For the first time, I am okay. This is a new feeling. I have never felt this way in a long time. Like, this is a new view. So I got the money and took it as a thanksgiving. And I was used to being without money. Even the fact that I didn't have money would be good if there is nobody who was demanding for some money for me, you see. Eh? So I didn't mind being broke as long as nobody is calling you. Nobody's going to call you. So I got the money and took it as a thanksgiving. I was just happy. Man, 5 million became 50. Like, when you honor God, like I didn't do it because I was calculating I want more money. No, I was just happy. And you see now when you do it innocently like that, like that's when it has more power. Because it was genuinely from the heart. Ah, man, this feels good. So even if I remain with just 500K, that's okay. That's enough for cappuccino and what? Let me get 4.5 million and just go and package it to the Lord and say thank you very much. Because now I've entered a certain place which I have not been in a long time. Now, you think you've lost something. You don't lose anything. Like, you see the value system of God. I remember it was coming to Christmas. Like, I would be there. Then somebody calls me and says, man of God, those days we used to give out my account number. Eh? I put money on your account. I put money on your account. I put money on what? What? I say, what's this? Like, people are calling me from even abroad. Eh? I've been sending, I'm going to send this. I'm like, I was totally overwhelmed. Completely, totally overwhelmed. Now, I remember I went to the village and then I needed money. So I went to the ATM. And I didn't know even when I'd gone to the village about a week before Christmas, people had still been putting. I don't know what was wrong with them. So I went to the ATM and withdrew, and I checked the balance. Now, if I tell you the figure, it's not that big. But for me, it was very big. You understand? Like, I checked, and I was like, wow. So I even just went and just called up. I said, man, this is too much. And it came because I had put a value. Let me read you something. Because you see, now I have to remind you these things. Because I see so many people who come here, and I'm seeing them, and their lives are not changing, and they think there is something wrong. You can hear everything I say a million times. But until you put a value to it, okay? God is not going to come here and talk to you. He's doing that through me. And the way you value what is being said is the way God is going to value you. I will honor those who honor me. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed by men. Okay. It says that. So you see that it was the gospel was never meant to. Paul even said somewhere, mentioned somewhere and said that, I robbed other churches, telling the Corinthian church, who were not good at giving, by the way. And he said, I robbed other churches to preach to you the gospel. And when I had needs, I did not even ask you. The people from Macedonia sent. Now, that is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing that a man of God comes and preaches to you the gospel, and he gets his needs from elsewhere. It's a terrible thing. It does not just stop with you getting nothing. You actually start retrogressing. Now, that's the truth of the word of God. That's the what? The truth of the word of God. So you either believe it. But you see, it is so simple. Just package something. God is the king. And say thank you very much and bring them. And like, show that you honor him. And you see what he's going to do. Like, you see how he's going to put something on you. And suddenly everybody perceives you different financially. Praise the Lord. Anyway. He said, I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. Go ahead. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. Now that's not good at all. Not good at all. Not good at all. But let me tell you what's also not good. We come here and have fellowship, and the amount of money we spend putting up this fellowship, we don't even get it from the offerings. I mean from the general offerings. When that happens, you've gotten nothing. You've wasted your time. You should have stayed home and watched a good Western movie. Cowboy. Never die. No, I'm being very honest with you. Because these things are spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual exchange. You see, eh? If you miss out on the spiritual exchange, you've missed out on everything. These are not just words that I'm going to teach you and teach you and teach. How long have you been taught? There is an exchange that happens and things happen at a certain level. And now that's what actually is of value. Now the teaching, of course, something can come out of it. Go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. He says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. This is a commandment. Amen? Let him who is taught the word share in all good things. Now you say, hey, okay. But God is saying, you've heard the word. Let me see how much you're going to value it. And then I will decide how I will value you based on that. And you think you or you are happy. Let me tell you, there are so many sharp people who are going to be broke and die broke. You understand? Don't try to be sharp with God. You can't be sharp with God. You see, because he says even in the next verse, you see, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. So you think that you are the one who is going to. And you see, I saw. I've seen a lot of this. Somebody comes and gives you. I remember when we used to have overnight, somebody comes and gives you a whole long list of prayer requests and then gives you a seed of 2K. And he's trying to be sharp. Like, and I'm looking at him saying that you are mocking. That's mocking God. Better just bring it. Don't give 2K. That's different if, like, you know, it's all you have and all that. But you can see he's trying to be sharp. He has brought a seed of what? Of 2K. That's mocking. That is mockery. And God looks and says, you've really mocked me. Eh? And you are not going to get away with it. You will be lightly esteemed by men. You will be the one who is at the bottom of the ladder. And other people, because you see, there are certain things which we did, and maybe we're not even doing. For instance, because we have partners who, you know, partner with the men. So, we were having radio shows across the country. 10 different locations for radio shows teaching end time. But I told admin to close them because the people there were not rejected the word. They were not paying. If you've been on radio for 6 months and people are not paying you enough money to at least keep you on their radio, they have rejected the word. Leave them alone. If you continue preaching to them the word at somebody's expense, you are putting them under a curse. It's better they don't listen to the word. Amen? So you give them a time frame. We have our partners, so we are going to do what? We are going to come on radio. But this is introduction. Now, we are giving you 6 months. If the people in your locality don't pay, we cut off. You've rejected the word. Then even dust our what? Our feet. You've rejected it. You say, but we received it because we said amen. No. There is no amen. You receive with money. And it's not like they don't have it. They have it. Let me tell you, the people who don't attach value to these things, you tell them that there is a certain musician who is coming here, they will have the money. You tell them there is a comedy show somewhere, of some comedy, they will have the money. You understand? Tell them that there is a beautiful girl who wants to be taken for pizza. They will have what? Money. The money. It's just that they despise the word of God. That's why they don't have the money. They despise it. That's the truth. They despise it. And in so doing, they despise God. And he says, okay, let's see how your life will turn out. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, of course, this is not pleasant to some of you, but if you really want to, it is easy. It is easy. Now, when I tell you that I was in a place where every minute money lenders are calling me, okay? And then I say, like, there is a way out. You see, eh? This is what I'm trying to communicate. Now, I'm telling you what I did. Now, if you don't want what I did, then don't come back here next time. You're wasting my time. Amen? Yeah. Because I can't have a number of a money lender now in my phone. But I once had, not just one. Praise the Lord. So now, there is a method. And this is what I'm communicating to you. And it is impenetrable. It cannot be subverted. Because you will put value on God's thing and he will put value on you. Like, that's it. Jobs, businesses, trips, what, everything will follow after that level. Even if you're a corporate worker, when you're going for a trip, your per diem will also go after what? That, like, it affects everything. I'm telling you the truth, it affects everything. Praise the Lord. Because it's God's value and it is based on how you value his word. Or actually the people who minister it to you. Eh? So he says, go back to verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So you see that there are ways we can do this. Number one is we can do this and I come and preach to you the word and so on. And then we have partners who are very wonderful people. Okay? And somehow I will be okay. You see, eh? But God doesn't like it like that. He doesn't want me to come and preach to you and you don't give me anything. It is not good. It is not. And you know, I think you know that I don't need it. Okay? But it is not good, I am telling you. Like, it distances you away because he's seeing that there is a mockery. Because this is his system. This is what matters to him. He doesn't need a house to live in. He doesn't need a good car to drive. No. What matters to him is that his word is preached. Amen? What matters to you, apart, of course, of the word also, but also you need things here on this earth. Now, the world where he lives and the world where you are connect when the cowboy is passing around. That's the connector. So you think Jesus is not there doing a commentary like he did when he was alive. He's there, seeing what's going through your mind. Then you say, "Ha! Now this, now the other, now her. Let me see, what can I afford to give?" And then you give. And then his mind, you've mocked him. Like, he looks at this, but you've mocked me. And it's not a good thing. Amen? Anyway. It says, let him who is taught the word hear in all good things with him who teaches. Then he goes on to say, that do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will reap. Now those two are related. You see, eh? Those two are related. And now this is the system God designed from way, way back by which men are supposed to be blessed. That's why he was so angry with Eli. By the way, he was so angry with the sons of Eli that he went and pronounced heavy judgment on them. And he went and pronounced a curse on them and said that there will never be an old man in the house of Eli. All of them will die in the flower of their youth. Then he said they will beg for bread. They will do what? Because you despised my offering. And for him, it is so important. Like, I want you to understand it's important to me because this is the means by which he blesses his children. And this is the means by which his children come and express reverence towards him. So these guys came and turned it into a joke. And then he pronounced a very heavy judgment on him. And even said, I remember the first time I read it, he said the sins of the children of the sins of Eli, not the children of Eli, because he said Eli did not bring his children to what? To book. He says the sins of Eli, he says, will never be atoned by sacrifice forever. Like, that's how angry he was. Like, they would, no sacrifice will ever atone for them. It's there in the scripture. Because you made the people mock the sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 9:11. He says, if we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? You see, there are people who have bad attitude. They think the spiritual things will be of any value when they have not given forth their material things. Let nobody deceive you. There is no transaction that happens in the spirit without anything happening in the natural. Even in the kingdom of darkness, if you went to a witch doctor and he tells you, go and become rich, and he has not asked you for at least a hen, he's lying. There has to be a natural exchange. You see, eh? For the spiritual exchange to happen. That's how spiritual things are. It cannot happen. So now if you think you're going to reap spiritual things, he says, if we have sown spiritual things to you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? Because you see now that comes from, this is Corinthians. Those people didn't want to give. So it comes from that attitude they have, that where he said that I just decided to leave you, not to ask you for anything. Everything I needed, I got from the people who came from Macedonia. Because you are Bakodo. You are what? And my, let me tell you, Bakodo, you are lying yourself. Like you, you're joking. So then he goes on to say, if others are partakers of this rite of, okay, go to verse 14. Then he says, even so the Lord has commanded, somebody say commanded, that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. That is a commandment of God. I did not write these words. Praise the Lord. Now, if somebody is preaching the gospel and has to go and do other things to live, you are wasting your time. You are not getting anything of value from him. The Lord commanded that those who preach the gospel must live off it. Now, when you make them live a good life off the gospel, God is going to make sure that he puts his value system on you and everything will follow accordingly. Amen? He's not telling you because he's going to take something away from you. No. He's telling you because he wants to add something to you. Make sure the people who preach the gospel, you give them enough money to live off it. Understood? Yes. So you come, you package your seed. Of course, God is not going to take it. Somebody's going to take it. Okay? You package your seed, you give the person. Then God knows you've valued his system. And then he knows what to do. Then you see somebody going from glory to financial glory to financial glory. And you seem to think that there's nothing. Like somebody, let me tell you something. When you, some guy came and told me, he went to some church. The guy looks money. So he went to this church, and the pastor was looking at him like this. So he's preaching, looking at him. Then he said, what do I want to want? I don't know, I got to send this. Of course, now this system can be abused. You understand? People can become buffet. But there is nothing wrong with the man of God eating your money. Amen? There is nothing wrong with the man of God eating your money. There is nothing wrong with me eating your money. Praise the Lord. But some of you think there is something wrong, so don't give it to me. Let's see if I want to eat. Amen? But you see, the truth is, God knows that he called me. He called me. I was working. I was a corporate worker, like some of you putting on ties. And he called me. Amen? And I obeyed the call. Now, when you give me your money, you are going to have a valuation system which God is going to put on you, which is going to affect everything at your workplace, in your salaries, in your what, all those things, all those things. Okay? Like, by the way, I started it as a joke telling you that if your boyfriend will buy for you. But let me tell you, if people only knew that the level where these things work is beyond the sight, you know, is beyond. For instance, you guys know that you can be dating a girl, and after the date, you tell her that what? Jump on the boda boda and go home. And you enter your car and what? And go home. Then another one, you tell them a Uber. And yet another one, you say, where should I drop you? Then she says, Mukono. Then you say, we go. And you drive all the way to Mukono. To do. The valuation system is real. And you cannot, you cannot cheat it. So you be there, refusing to give, you will jump on boda bodas. As some guy enters an ML and drives home. Then even he has the audacity to say, ask all you, have you arrived safely? And these things are just like that. They are just like that. Some people, the person will tell you that, hey, where are you going? I'm going to Mukono. Then they will go inside Kayunga almost. And you're happy. You drop them and come back. Another one will tell you that, let's say your car date was here. Where are you going? I'm going to Munyonyo. Jump on the boda boda. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I want to give you people an opportunity to start seeing things differently. Amen? I want to give you an opportunity to receive the word of God at a level where God will look and say, okay, you've honored me. Now that is something. Because just like it was then, he's standing next to you doing a commentary on your giving. Glory to God. You see, because we cut down all this whatever, we decided that it's not going to be worth preaching to people who are not willing to pay. For instance, the reason we've not done a Watchman conference last year and even this year, I want the people who we are preaching to be able to pay for their own what? Because 3 times we paid for them. We pay for their transport, we give them lunch, breakfast, lunch, what? If they cannot pay for themselves now, then we are wasting our time. They have not received anything. They have rejected the gospel. Amen? Because we can use the, you know, the way we've been doing. Our partner's money and what. But that's not how the Lord designed it. If the message we are preaching is of any value to them, let them pay for it. If they don't pay for it, they have rejected it. And it's not going to benefit them whatsoever. It will not. You can preach to them all the world, it is not going to benefit them until they actually pay at least enough expense to make it happen. So now I want to say, outside of our partners and our people, let the people who are coming to hear the word of end time pay for the conference, all the expenses. If they can do that, then they will receive something. If they can't, then they will not. Praise the Lord. I wish you knew how much money is. Because that is the connector. That's your effort. That is you. That's what matters really to you. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Anyway, let me finish with something else here. Go to the story of Mark chapter 6, the story of feeding the 5,000. Now, I'm going to give you people an opportunity to do something. Okay? The story of feeding the 5,000 from Mark chapter 6. You see, this story, feeding the 5,000, is one of very few stories which is all across the gospel, in every gospel, all the four gospels. It's there. Not even the birth of Jesus is in all four gospels. There are very few things that are related that are in all four gospels. But feeding 5,000 is one of them. And there is a reason. It's a very, very, very important, very, very important thing for you if you want to actually enter into the... You can start from there. So now, here is why it's important. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep with not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Go ahead. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." You see this kind of reasoning. Now, there are these people who have gathered, and the disciples are concerned about them. And then they tell Jesus, send them away that they may go and find something to eat. Praise the Lord. Now, that's a very convenient way of doing things. But God doesn't work with convenience. Amen? God doesn't work with convenience. There have been times in my life when God expected me to do something of faith, and I decided to send them away. Okay? Because I felt I didn't want to exert myself financially. Because God will give you something which requires you a bit to exert yourself. Maybe you need 50 million and you've never even, you don't have that capacity yet. But God wants to expand you to that capacity. So he will present to you something of 50 million. And then he expects you to actually pursue that 50 million. By the time you have it, he has expanded you. Amen? Now that is how he does things. And now anybody who has worked with him will know that he always is in the business of expanding you. So if you are comfortable with this, he will tell you, no, do the other. Praise the Lord. So they come and tell him, send them away. I'm going to go through this very fast. But I know what I'm talking about because there have been scenarios in my life where I missed out on great opportunities because I did what the disciples say, send them out, send it away. That you send it away, send them away. I remember one time when those years, early years, I used to stay in the flats in Bugorobi and I was paying rent. And now the lady whom I was paying rent to, her husband moved. So used to work for Stanbic. So he was given a job in South Africa. So she was following him to South Africa. So she told me I pay her 7 million in goodwill and the flat comes under my name. Now I felt strong that I should pay that money. But I did not have the 7 million at the time. But I felt I should exert myself and pay that money. But I became lazy. I decided to take the lazy option out. So I told the lady no. She told me, do you know the interesting thing is this? And I actually kicked myself afterwards because this was a born-again lady and we had developed friendship and she was my landlady. And I could even have told her that I'll put the money on your account after this time. There was that option, you see. I didn't have it at the time. If I'd asked her to pay the money later, she would have allowed. Okay? But somehow, I just decided to send them away to the villages to go and buy food. I decided I was not going to exert myself in that area. So she told me, just pay 7 million in goodwill. I said, no, I'm not going. This is 2004, I think, 2004. I was paying 500,000 for the flat. And goodwill was 7 million. Now, as soon as I refused to pay the goodwill and she gave the opportunity to somebody else, immediately National Housing decided that they were selling the flats and the people whose names were there, which my name would have been if I'd paid the goodwill, were supposed to pay 450,000 every month and the flat would be theirs after a few years. I was paying 500,000. If I'd paid the 7 million, I would be 450 to now straight to National Housing, and after some years, the flat would be mine. And then that's not the worst thing. The worst thing is somehow Indians discovered the flood. So the price of rent went up to 1.5. So that means in just a matter of 1-2 years, I would have owned that flat. If I had rented it out to an Indian and he pays that money to National Housing, I would have finished their money in a short time and owned the flat. I saw it later on that God was giving me an opportunity. But I didn't want to stretch myself. I didn't want to step out of my comfort. So I decided not to take it. And I regretted. Amen? Now, enough of regrets. Praise the Lord. So he says, send them away that they may go into... That's what I did. This is what the disciple was telling. What? Jesus. So I sent the opportunity away. Let them go to the villages and buy bread. There is nothing to eat. So this is not our problem. Let them go and sort themselves. Next verse. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. If I don't reach here, and the Lord says, no, you pay the 7 million. You have it. I didn't have it. But if God says you have it, if God presents, he knows you can get it. You understand? He knows the options. Like I told you, I could even have told the lady, give me 4 months. And it's not like she needed the money. She was just doing me. She was really being kind. Anyway, give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread to give them something to eat? Now, here is how people think. Because there comes a time. Now, I'm giving you an opportunity. I want you to listen to this carefully. There comes a time in your life when you want to do something. And there is a project you're pursuing. But your resources are not enough. You understand? Your resources are not enough. Now, there are different kinds of people. Some people will say, ah, send it away, so I'm not interested, like I did. Okay? Others would say, we need 50 million. You see, these guys immediately calculated the amount of money that was needed. And when people start talking about how much money they need, usually they stop there because they are not seeing the hand of God. Now, he says, 200 denarii worth of bread. He had already calculated how many people were there, how much is a loaf of bread, and decided this is how much it costs to feed all these people. And then he came up with that, you know, something to eat. Then, but Jesus had told them, you feed them. He did not say, I'm going to feed them. He said, you feed them. You feed them. Now, then the next step he asks, what do you have? Now that's where I missed it. I didn't have 7 million. But if I'd pushed to see how much I have, I would have gotten what I have. And what I have would have gotten me what I don't have. Praise the Lord. Because so he says, what do you have? You don't have the entire thing. What do you have? Then he says, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And they went and found they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Amen? Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on green grass. Now, this is a bit of a long message, but also this has a message because he tells them, sit down. Tell them to sit down. They know there is no food to feed them. Now, when you are doing things by faith, or you do things which some people might think are stupid, telling people to sit down and you are going to feed them when you know there is no food. Now, you say that, but they knew they were with Jesus. So are you. Amen? If the Lord told you, first go and find out how much I want you to have that house. Let's say now, forget about back. I want you to have that house. Then you go there. Then you say, how much is the house? Then they say it's 1 billion shillings. Now some of you will get Urquama there. That's the end of you because you look at 1 billion and it's like insurmountable. But you see, Jesus is waiting for you to go to the next step. How much do you have? Amen? How much do you what? Have. Now, if you can get there, you've gotten somewhere. Then you say, I don't have 1 billion, but I can get 10 million. That one I have. Then he says, give it to me. That's what he told them. Give me what you have. Then he says, go and tell the people to sit down. Now, telling the people to sit down means going and telling the landlord, do something stupid. Faith is stupid. Amen? Because it comes from a different realm. So you go and start kulambraing the house. You know, some people are so scared. Like, what's wrong with kulambraing a house? Does the man know that you're doing it by faith? Just go and look around, like it, look at it. Praise the Lord. Now, when God is leading you, he knows that he's teaching you something. It's not just the house. For you, you want the house. For him, he wants to teach you a lesson which you will need all your life. That it is not what you don't have that matters, but what you what? What you have. Praise the Lord. What you have that you're ready to put in his hands. So they say, we found a young man here who has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Then he says, bring them to me. Praise the Lord. Do what? Then he lifts up his hands and thanks God. And the next thing, the people who are seated are feeding. And the disciples who were telling them to sit knew there was no food. But somehow there was food, and then they ate. And then there's even leftovers. Praise the Lord. Now, there's a reason why that story is in all 4 Gospels. It is very, very, very powerful. And I'm telling you what I've done on my life. When you want something, you want to buy a car and it's 80 million, and you have 10 million. Those are 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Give them to him. Let him multiply them. And the next thing, you'll have 120 million. You'll pay 80 million and you'll even have 12 basketfuls for 40 million extra. Amen? Like, just trust me. You know, you don't have it. And you know there is nowhere you're going to get the what? You have, okay, 10 million. The car you want is 80 million. If you look for a car of 10 million, you're going to be in the garage 8 months out of 12. So now you know you don't have. There's no way you're going to get the 70 million. You know it. Amen? So he says, those are 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Put them in the hand of the master. And say, Lord, here are my 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Please multiply them. I want that car. Amen? How many of you can trust God to do that? Like, just say, please, here are my 5 loaves. You see, this is a very important story in the Gospels. All 4 Gospels. Here are my 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, I am putting them in your hands. You will not find him, so you might have to put them in my hands. Amen? But that's just as good. Praise the Lord. Okay, that sounds like a joke, but you know, Because he knows you're giving. You're not giving. You know, he knows you're giving him. So he said, now, please multiply this. And I get that car. And then you sit back and make people sit down. How do you make people sit down? Go and test drive the car. They don't know you don't have the money. That's between you and God. Amen? And don't just sit back and now say, now. No, like, be proactive. Everything about faith is proactive. Jesus tells them, go and tell the people to sit down. Yet they are still 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they can't even feed 20 people. Much less 5,000. But he's telling them, sit down. Sit down, there is food. You see, now that's how faith works. So you go and enter the thing and say, okay, this is my what? Okay, you test drive a bit and what? And I know people who have gotten cars like that here among us. And cars is just one thing, but you can use it for anything else. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm giving you an opportunity to bring your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Bring them here with the purpose of what you want. And by the word of God, you see if the Lord will not do something. Amen? Walk in faith. You want something. There's something you want. You don't have enough. Okay? That's why he put that thing there. There are projects you will undertake where the resources are not enough. And God has his system where he can multiply it. If I asked you here how many people are going to give according to how you purpose, you did not purpose. You just came. Amen? But still you're going to give a prophetic offering. Otherwise, this word is going to be what? Wasted. These are very powerful words to be wasted. So give a prophetic offering, I go and take cappuccino. Amen? Glory to God. I'm telling you, I wish you knew this is how I put it. How, like, my thing went up and somehow I started. Like, what I'm telling you is the word of God. And it is something that I have done. There is nothing I'm telling you that I haven't done. Amen? I'm going to pray for your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Okay? Whatever it is you want to see done. Amen? And I want you to believe God that in this year of unveiling or crowning, you are not going to remain the same. Amen? First of all, you are going to enter into ownership. So what is it you want to own? Glory to God. Glory to God. I've done this for wedding. I've done this for conference, for everything. I get what I have and go and say, Lord, the conference is going to cost us this much. This is what I have. Here are my 5 loaves and what? 2 fishes. Two fishes, I don't know. Fishes sounds fake. My primary school teacher would be very angry. But the King James Bible says fishes. Praise the Lord. So he says, and I have done it all the time and say, this is my, you know, here, this is what I have. Now I'm putting it in your hands, multiply it. And I feed 5,000. Or and I do what it is I'm supposed to do. Praise the Lord. But now I want you to want something. I want you to get tired of being, of stagnating. Amen? I want you to learn how to put a value on God's word. And then you'll see how you'll put a value on you that pursues you everywhere. And everybody sees you according to that value. I want your life to be different. Amen? Like, don't stagnate and be comfortable in one place. Like, just don't. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, if you do, you'll be like people out there. You'll never see the blessing. You never really see the blessing. Now, the people who see the blessing are those who put a value on God's word and do, like I told you, where you see yourself growing. Then you actually know that there is a blessing. Me who was with money lenders, I am here with hundreds of millions. There is a what? There is a blessing. And it is undeniable. Praise the Lord. Eh. But you see, now I can come here and preach because our partners are, you know, paying for everything. But if you don't pay for anything, you'll not get anything. You have to pay. And you have to pay knowing that. It's not paying like exchange. But you see, you know, I've explained. You know what I mean. Praise the Lord. You have to connect and value God. Value His word at that level. Glory to God. Don't try to be sharp. It says in Galatians 6:7, God is not mocked. So, now prepare your what? Your prophetic offering. Now some of you are scared because I said Jesus is there looking. You think He's looking only today. He has been looking all the while. Even when you were being mean. Oh, no, man. You're used to free things, free gospel. But you know very well the only thing you want free is the gospel. When you go to a petrol station, you know that you are not getting anything free. When you go to a restaurant, you know you are not getting anything free. There is nowhere you expect anything free except what? Except the gospel. You're lying yourself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, I'd never preach this thing, but you know, I'll be very honest with you. If I do not preach this, it is going to do you a disservice. If I was preaching something that I have not been already or that I have not seen work, it's different. But I'm telling you, I've seen it work. I know what it is. I know what it is for God to have a valuation of you. And like everything follows you in at that level. I know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at the Watchman Ministry Grounds along Gaba Road near the American Embassy opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 752 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at the _UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.